great to be back at Holland Road. Thank you so much for the blessing of partnering with us. It's lovely to have more and more of Holland Roaders behind us, praying for us, standing with us. Great to have currently two trustees from here. Great to have all the volunteers. And thank you so much for lending us hope. They've done a great job with our painting down at our base, down at Portland Road. It's a great blessing. I preached spoke the other day at the Friday Fellowship here. It was a wonderful thing to walk from my base to here and meet up with three ex-homeless people. Just phenomenal. Two of them are in local churches doing very, very well. Married, got jobs going on. The third one was struggling a bit more, but got a job, got a house. And he asked me if he could have a New Testament Bible, as I've always got one on me. So within just a quarter of a mile, three people, God just gave me confirmation that our work is still flourishing and God is in control. I've got a few minutes, they said, all Paul, just a few minutes. It's very difficult for a minister, but here we go. If you haven't had one of our brochures, the brand new ones, please take it home, be very careful with it. It will singe your fingers, it's so hot. God has been doing great things in Brighton Hove, and I'd love you to take one. Pray for us, lift us up, and I thank you ever so much. I'm going to get another banner for you. Project Antifreeze is just one of five or six different projects. It's great to have Nick from your church, who's now working with our schools project. It's wonderful to have yet another Holland Roader working alongside us. So, as you've got Antifreeze, God has done great things there. 9,000 day visits last year. 1,200 street emergency visits. 2,500 people went through foot care, health care, hairdressing, dental and legal advice. It's great to have the hotels on board, giving all the lost property. It's amazing how much people leave behind that we're able to give the homeless. So you might be going around thinking, oh, they're really poshed up. Well, it's not them that's bought it. It's stuff that's been left behind by people coming to Brighton. But just thinking about that, stuff like the marathon. We picked up 120 black bags full of clothing that people threw off during the marathon. And so it's a wonderful thing. You see all these homeless people in Nike and posh gear. But that's the reason. Project Gateway just continues to grow and develop. In fact, I think it's true to say I've got more staff in Gateway than I have Antifreeze. That day, centre was accessed 1,300 times, 12 weekly groups, one-to-one sessions up 61%, and outreach to isolated clients up 119%, creative and skills workshop. We've got a great waiting list, partnering with Mind. We're currently looking for a new building this week. We are talking with a place where it might be possible to take Gateway into a new building. That would be a wonderful thing. Schools and youth. Well, I pay more staff to do that than any other project. It's probably the project that's least talked about within Off the Fence, but I believe making the greatest impact. 7,788 students were mentored, taught and supported. 487 young people weekly come to our clubs. One-to-one mentoring up 52%. Safe spaces, 1,709 students go to. 18 projects such as building healthy relationships, self-esteem, bereavement loss, drug and alcohol. They're part of Christians in Education. 15 prayer spaces since Christmas, 4,171 students. Wonderful. That's what's going on now, but what's coming online? I was given 5 minutes and I'm keeping to that. New qualified intern program. We've got spaces for young persons to come in. We've got the house to house them and for them to come for a year and learn how to set up a Christian charity and make great impact wherever they come from. We've got the Homeless Travel Fund just started up. We've got the homeless apprenticeship scheme with Pret a Manger. We've just taken on a multi-need worker within Antifreeze. 12-step program, addictions program, starting September the 1st. Brighten up, Brighton. This is the next kind of things we want to get involved with. Mobile laundrettes and showers for the homeless. We need to go where they're at. Oh, we can't cope with the numbers coming to our day centre, so we want to start mobile units there. Socket to them, Brighton. Some of you already know about our socket, our socks for the homeless. Our plan was for 1,000 2 weeks ago. God gave it to us within a week. Praise God. I've just thought of a new project. Yeah, I'm like that just while I'm here because I'm getting worked up and excited being about with the Baptists. The four B's. Get the Baptists to buy boxers for Brighton's homeless. 150 boxer shorts for Brighton's homeless. 50 quid if anybody wants to contribute. I'll be here at the end. I'm on my best behaviour today. Has got my wife with me. You don't know how rare that is. That both of us together, we've got a mighty morning this morning. So I'm on my best behaviour. And we've got a Loctite plan, 5-year plan. Please take it. Please pray for us. If you want to volunteer or get our newsletter, prayer letter, do your faith a favour and enjoy working with us. We've got a few volunteers for the schools. That's as rare as can be. So if you'd like to be part of our schools program, we're looking for 3 new volunteers on that. And we so appreciate Holland Road and all that you do for the kingdom. That lovely fella on that microphone, you're going to need to turn it down because I'm going to get excited. So we're looking at Colossians this morning. So let's turn to Colossians 2 and we start there. I'm looking at just 2 verses, but they're wonderful verses. It's introduction to the ministry. We're looking at Paul's letter. Even though the Colossians were doing very, very well spiritually, they had to guard against false teaching that was everywhere around them. They had to guard against the everyday battle. The devil was prowling around as he is today. Paul says this so clearly. Our faith must be found on nothing less than Jesus Christ. Jesus must be the all-sufficient reason and purpose for everything the church is and does. He argues, a life lived based on following Jesus is tested, but it should remain steadfast because the foundation is solid. Every test of our faith increases our confidence that Jesus said things that were true, things that were lasting, things that were concrete. Whatever the devil might throw at us, he is steadfast. Those who walk in Christ are strengthened in their faith as they follow hard after Jesus. So that's the introduction. Let's look at the passage today. Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. It says this. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thanksgiving. What a wonderful passage. What an incredible blessing to be able to preach on such a passage. I'm so encouraged by this passage. I hope you are. Rooted, built up in Jesus, and strengthened in faith. This world can be brutal, can't it? People disappoint us. We disappoint them. The flesh gets the upper hand. The devil is relentless in his assault of Christians. Circumstances get out of hand. Dreams are shattered again and again. Society as a whole just seems to unravel before our eyes. And worst of all, I begin to wonder, is my life really counting for anything that will last for eternity? I look at Brighton, and I know even since January, Homelessness has increased 9%, not just here, but across the country. I look at the newspapers, the strikes all around, the labour groups in tatters. The council's just announced another £60 million to be cut from the budget. Jeff Raw, the CEO, said he hopes it will be taken up by the voluntary sector, but the voluntary sector is on their knees. Massive cuts to children's centres, youth centres, to older people's care, to disabled people's care, to mental health, and it goes on and on. Brighton is now the drug capital of Britain. Highest elderly suicide rate in the country. Highest HIV in Western Europe. Abortion through the roof. Sexually transmitted diseases up 137%. And the list goes on and on. There's godlessness and corruption all around. I look at the city and think it's sinking into the sewer. The tide of death and destruction increases. Death and disease all around. And I can get so discouraged. I'm weakly staggered by the poverty that we see. But, oh, thank you, God, but. In Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7, no matter how bad life gets or hard, life sometimes seems so ridiculously different and difficult and hard. I've been rooted in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. God has seeded my soul into the soul of Christ's unchanging and unconquerable grace. My life is rooted in Him. My hope is grounded in His goodness. This is my destiny, friends. This is your destiny. This is our security. This is our strength. When I feel like I'm wandering around aimlessly and hopelessly, hitting one disappointment after another, whatever I may encounter, whether good or bad, of this I may be certain, I have been rooted in Jesus Christ. But what about those times, Paul, when it seems that our spiritual life is not progressing? It feels like we're in concrete. That's when I remind myself, friends, once more of Paul's words here. Not only have I been rooted in Christ in the past, but I am being built up in Christ even now and in the present. I may not always see it or feel it. I may not be aware of major developments in my life. In fact, times I think I'm falling backwards. No, Paul says, no. He assures us, however bad it may be for us, we are being built up in Jesus Christ. We are ever and always under good construction. A brick here. A plank over there. We are being built up by His grace in a wonderful way. Isn't that an encouragement? God will not give up on us. What He began by grace, He'll finish by grace. The building will be completed. Our souls will grow in likeness to Jesus Christ. And one day we will be like Him as we shall see Him as He is. Wonderful. I don't know about you, but it helps for me to know that I desperately need to be reassured that my life, my body, my spirit are rooted in Jesus Christ and what He's done for me. Oh, what a wonderful thing. You know, I can go through many things, see many pluses. My life might be going through really well. But it doesn't do much when life starts to sink and my soul starts to get downtrodden. I need to know that I'm rooted in Him. I watch the news. I see the disasters. I need to know that I'm rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ. I need to know that He's still at work in Paul Young. Slowly but surely. Oh, there's failures along the way. my failures, not his. But nothing, my Bible says, nothing will lead him to forsake his work in me. And I'm so pleased about that. In fact, Paul goes on to say, we're also being established in the faith. The word here is like a legal term. God has bound himself to me. He has formally pledged himself to my growth in grace in his Son, Jesus. He has sealed the document of ownership. I am his and he is mine. He will complete what he has started. He will do that in me that's needed. There's only one appropriate response, Paul says, to this. It's thanksgiving. In verse 7, he reminds us the importance of abounding in thanksgiving, remembering what we were before we knew Jesus. Oh, how can I thank you, Lord? How can I thank you? I remember what it was like, my friends, before I became a Christian. An alcoholic dad that was an aggressive man. Never really got to know him. Brought up, really, by my granddad, who was a product of the First World War. Went out with 217 men, only 11 returned. Never got over it. Threw himself under the fast train at Port Slade. It was a total mess. I looked back and I took a lot out of this city. There was an awful lot of aggression and anger in Paul Young. I can remember the emptiness, and somehow, some way, God led this young fella, without even being a Christian, onto a missionary ship. 320 Christians and me on this boat. I said to the old captain, I don't want to work with these religious people. And he said, it's hard, Paul, because there's 320 of them and just you. And I said, that's not a problem. Put me down the engine room. Do the night shift. And that's what I'd done for 2 years. But after 2 years, as I thought that God was going to lead me back to the army in Britain, I'd had enough. I'd seen enough of the world. I'd seen some great things on this ship. But you know, I couldn't see how this figure 2,000 years ago could impact Paul Young. And my cabin mate gave me a tape on the fatherhood of God, and I put it on and I thought, who is this old fella? And it was an old preacher by the name of A.W. Tozer about the fatherhood of God. And halfway through that message, Jesus Christ come and met with Paul Young. God come and met with me. I don't know why he came and found out me. I don't know why he had ordained my life to be so different and to be on a missionary ship. I was a missionary for 2 years before I was a Christian. And there, on that ship, just off of Africa, God come and met with me, and my life has never been the same. Oh, the first thing I wanted to do, they say, Paul, stay on for 5 years. Learn the Bible. I said, I've got to get back to Brighton. I've got to get back to the people that have never heard. It's my city. Please, God. Well, God took us through different routes. It's been bizarre routes. In with the Baptists in Brisbane, I met with Wendy, and our life's been an adventure ever since. But I know what I was like before. And out of a thankful heart, Paul Young that was going nowhere, empty, lost, he became a child of the living God. The Holy Spirit of the living God dwells within me, and I'm ever so thankful. And I want to share that with those out there that have no hope. They're not hopeless. It's that they just don't have any hope. And I want to be part of that army to give them hope, don't you? Oh, out of a thankful heart. How can I ever thank you, Lord? I heard a song not long ago. It went like this. How can I say thank you for the things you've done for me? Things so undeserved that you give to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to thee, O Lord, my Saviour. It's good, eh? When I consider all that God has done for each of us,
the same question comes to mind. How can we ever say thank you to the Lord? Paul, in his writing here in Colossians, provides us with ways that you and I can express our gratitude to the Lord in a manner that pleases him. First off, you and I can say thank you by walking faithfully with Jesus Christ. When you came to Christ for salvation, you came on the basis that you could do nothing in and of yourself to merit eternal life. I know how bad I was. I was hell-ridden and I deserved to be hell-ridden. But to rely on that completed, finished work of Jesus Christ, alone by faith, is a life changer. And then from a thankful heart, we work hard for him in victory and surrender to him. So Paul says, Christian living is about handing God a blank sheet to fill in with your name signed at the bottom. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Oh God, whatever, thy will be done, not mine. Thy will. Oh, I fail. I say, I love you, Jesus, but I want to hold on to my friends that are not close to you. Oh, Lord God, I love you and I want to do this. I want to own that. Oh, I need that over there to live right. Oh, God, I want to live for you, but I won't be reading my Bible this week. Oh, I want to be living closely to you, but I won't pray. I won't seek the things that God sees. I'll turn away at the needs that I see in the streets. Oh, Lord God, I want to give up things, but I want my travel plans, my speaking plans. Even if it brings more glory to me than God, oh, keep them, Lord God, I want them. I want this. Oh, help us to be Christians. Thy will be done, O God. It's about steadiness in the storms, my friend, of life. Steadiness in Jesus. We're going to get the battle. Now, during the week, I saw one of these documentaries on the old liners going from Southampton. And there was the old Queen Mary, a beautiful old ship, the Queen Mary. And it was going across the Atlantic, Southampton to New York. And the Americans had just made a greater liner, a bigger liner, a far faster liner. The Queen Mary goes out and this new faster liner goes past it. And they can hear the cheers of the people on board this new boat. On the way back, the same ship took over the Queen Mary and the horns were going and cheers on board. And the captain of the Queen Mary said, would you just radio through this one message? The Queen Mary is known for one thing, not for speed, not for size, but we are known for steadiness in the storm. That's what we need to be, my friends. People that are steady in the storms. You look at the news today, if you're not steady in the storms, who will be? It's an incredible period. A big part of Christian maturity is learning to let God keep you steady and be ruled less and less by your emotions and your circumstances. Paul teaches this again and again. True spirituality manifests itself in the desire to be holy rather than happy. The desire to see the honour of God advance through our lives. The desire to carry his cross. The desire to see everything from God's viewpoint. The desire to die right rather than live wrong. The desire to see others advance rather than yourself being advanced. The desire to make eternity judgments instead of time judgments. That's a big lesson, isn't it? I travel around many, many churches. I'm in a different church almost every other week. And I find an amazing disconnect. We're in the biggest battle that there is. We're in a big battle for this city. We need to be people on fire for the living God. We need to give him over everything and say, here I am, Lord God, whatever thy will. We need to realise what whatever we have is because God in his grace has generously given it to us. Then we'll see revival in the cities. Then we'll see God moving. A true Christian is one who never for a second forgets what God has done for him in Christ, and whose behaviour and activity are rooted in the heart of gratitude and thanksgiving. One of my first experiences on the ship as a Christian, they sent me out to a leper colony just by Guinea-Bissau. And they put me into the leper colony. It was miles from anywhere. These people had absolutely nothing. On a Sunday morning, you just heard the drum calling the people. And I went in and I didn't know what to expect. But they started singing praise and worship. And you know what, friends? I've never seen the like since. I've never experienced what they have had. We have so much, but we don't have what they have. The knowledge and the wonder and the presence of God. Even though they've got nothing, they've got everything. Because eternity was theirs. How we need to be all out for God. We owe nothing here, but in my Father's house are many mansions, and he's gone to prepare a place for you and me. The King is coming back, and he's coming to own what is rightfully his. I conclude, and I finish up, and that's unheard of. I'm actually early, praise God. In conclusion, Paul is saying we can say thank you to the Lord Jesus by walking faithfully, by walking steadfastly and thankfully. Yes, we can expect trouble in our Christian walk. It's coming and it will come to you this week. We know the enemy is prowling round like a lion seeking to destroy us. I was reading through Pilgrim's Progress not long ago, and there was poor old Pilgrim, and he was quite happy with life. And he says, the devil, I can't see him anymore. Isn't it wonderful? The devil's gone. I can't see him. And the next traveller comes along and says, who's that whispering in your ear? You might not be able to see him, but he's there whispering all the time. But we have the promise of God's word. We have the promise that the devil is defeated. His time is coming up. We have the promise of God that salvation is secured for us, for those who accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour, who put their trust in him alone. Paul says that true life is found only in Jesus Christ. Haven't you found that, Christians? I found that. We are made alive in him. Jesus has not only given us eternal life, but he has given us spiritual life here. And you know what? Satan doesn't want us to have that. He desires to distract the church, to see the church not fulfill a mission. He desires to see you live an unfulfilled life. The challenge for us is to rest in the all-sufficiency of Jesus Christ and live all out for him. We must trust him and his word. We must be focused on following Jesus and fulfilling the mission and purpose of his church to make followers of Jesus Christ and then disciple them so that they will win the world. We must be alive in Christ, labouring for the gospel until he comes and he claims us again, or that we are called home. The agenda is and always will be, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea, and I want to be part of that army. Wherever, Lord God, I'm here and available. And believe the best is yet to be, Christians. The King is coming back. And as you watch that news and your soul starts to get down and down, it's all part of the end times. The King is ready to come back. The angel has the trumpet to his lips. And the King is coming back. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord. Continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thanksgiving. Amen. Let us pray. Oh Lord, I thank you that you gave me this passage to look through this week, and the wonder, Lord God, that somebody so lost in sin, so lost in nothingness, so empty, that you came and made me a son of the living God. Oh Lord God, I pray that each and every person in this church may know why Jesus came, may know why they were born, may know that there is great grace and love in the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, I pray, Lord God, if there are people here thinking, oh, which way shall I go? Just tepid for God or all out fireballs for God? I pray that they might have life in all its fullness when they follow hard after you. I pray, Lord God, your blessing upon this church, your blessing upon this pulpit. I thank you, Lord God, for all those that have prayed for off the fence and the ministry and seeded into it. Thank you, Lord God. I pray, give us more souls, Lord God. Give us more broken people that we can put right. Give us more people that need to know Jesus. Lord God, strengthen us, encourage us. Lord God, when the news gets too bad, help us to open the Word of God. Make us a people that are fired up for God. Make this city somewhere that's known to be Christ-centered. Oh, we can't do it. You can, Lord God. Only you can bring a sky blue revival across this city. We ask for it, we beg, we pray, but Lord God, in the meantime or during, here we are available. Make of us what you will, for your name's sake. Amen.